sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge.
Amid fields of clover, 'twas just a little over 100 years ago. A handful of strangers, they faced many dangers to make their country grow. It's now quite a nation with wondrous population and free from every king. It's your land, it's my land, a pray to or die land, and that's just why I sing. America, I love you. You're like a sweetheart of mine. From ocean to ocean, for you my devotion is tucking each boundary line. Just like a little baby climbing its mother's knee. America, I love you, and there's 100 million others like me. America, I love you. You're like a sweetheart of mine. From ocean to ocean, for you my devotion is touching its boundary line. Just like a little baby climbing its mother's knee. America, I love you, and there's 100 million others like me. America, I love you, and there's 100 million others like me.
This is Bruce Kaplan welcoming you back to another episode of Radio Masterpieces. I want to begin my program by wishing everyone in my radio audience a most happy and healthy Thanksgiving. I so appreciate you tuning into my shows every week and supporting the wonderful little radio station, Valley 103.1. Thanksgiving mysteries are very difficult to come by, but tonight we have two gems for you. We begin with an episode of Casey Crime Photographer, and then we conclude with a holiday episode of Suspense. The episode of Suspense stars the child actress Margaret O'Brien. Margaret really made a splash when, as a child of about 6, she co-starred with Judy Garland in the movie great Meet Me in St. Louis. If you have any questions for me, please don't hesitate to write to Bruce at RadioMasterpieces.com. I'll be sure to get back to you. We just listened to Kate Smith and one of her patriotic songs that are so appropriate for this season. At the end of our show, we're going to hear Kate again. God Bless America was recorded in 1938. There's a very interesting story behind the 1938 Kate Smith broadcast and a young songwriter by the name of Israel Berlin. Born in Russia, he changed his name to Irving Berlin when he came to America. Just prior to the end of World War I, Berlin wrote, God Bless America. He didn't release it to the public for 2 decades. His publicist told him in 1918 that there were just too many patriotic songs and that it would be a flop. Well, in 1938, when the world was about to explode into another horrible conflagration, Kate Smith needed a patriotic song. She contacted Irving Berlin, and he rummaged through his repertoire and found a dusty copy of one of the greatest patriotic songs ever written about our country. At the end of our program, you'll hear Kate Smith sing God Bless America the first time the public heard the words, 1938. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and now just enjoy the show.
7 o'clock in the evening. A medium-priced uptown restaurant known as Petrakis at Olympian. At a table for two, a flashily dressed young man pushes aside his empty plate and says to the pretty girl who sits opposite,
"Hey, that turkey wasn't half bad."
"You didn't leave much of it."
"Neither did you. Can I order dessert now?"
"Uh-huh."
"Hey, waiter. Gus."
"Okay, Keith. What do you want now, Joe?"
"We're ready for the plum pudding now."
"Plum pudding?"
"That's what you want, too, isn't it, Lottie?"
"Yes, and coffee."
"Same here."
"Okay, Keith."
"I don't know why you won't let me do anything for you in a classy way, Lottie. I asked you out for a Thanksgiving spread, and you made me bring you to a cheap place like this."
"Joe, you can't afford to throw your money away."
"You know what I can afford. You may not have as good a job as my cousin Bird yet, but it doesn't
What's
mean I...
Bird got to do with
He's
it?
He's got plenty to do with it. You didn't have to work today. You'd be out with him now instead of me, I know."
"Bird isn't working tonight, Joe. He came home before we left there. I could have had dinner with him if I'd wanted."
"Yeah."
"Oh, don't be like that, please."
"Why shouldn't I be? While I was in... While I was away, you and him became awful good friends."
"We were always friends, the three of us. We grew up on the same block."
"Yeah, but while I was away, he moved into your old man's room and house so we could be closer for him."
"Oh, don't start that again tonight. We're out for a pleasant evening, and it has been pleasant so far. Please, Joe."
"All right. Comes out as this.
2 plums for pudding. And coffee."
"You know, when you go out with me, Lottie, you're going to get class whether you think I can afford it or not. I'm going to take you to Dance Land. I'm going to buy you a whole roll of tickets. Best you'd get out of that tightwad fur as a soda in a movie." "All right, it's all out, Gus. Let me check."
"You said it, Joe."
"All right, Joe. Since you won't drop the subject, we'll talk about Bird."
"Well?"
"He wants me to marry him."
"Figure that from a dirty double-crosser."
"He isn't a double-crosser."
"He knows I've been going with you since we were kids and I've always been crazy about you. And while I was taking that bum rap on the reformatory..."
"You didn't take a bum rap, Joe. You asked for what you got."
"All right, so the cops had the goods on me. So that gave Ferd no right
it
to..."
"It gave me a right to do a lot of thinking."
"So you decided a sneaky yellow drip like my cousin is a better bet than me, huh?"
"I don't think Ferd is sneaky or yellow."
"You don't, huh?"
"No. And I don't think you're a criminal."
"Nice of you to say that."
"I'm not being nice. I'm saying what I believe. If you make me sure you've learned your lesson..."
"Yeah?"
"You won't have to worry about me liking Bert or anyone. There's never really been anybody but you, Joe. Only I've got to be sure."
"How do I make you sure?"
"Just show me and Dad that you're steady, that's all."
"And I've been showing you that since I came back. Didn't I get a job right away?"
"Yes, Joe, but I don't see how you can afford those 2 new suits and that overcoat with what you're making."
"Oh. Oh, I get it. Bird can buy clothes or take you out, and it's okay, isn't it? He's never had trouble with a cop. But the minute I spend an extra buck, you and your old man figure I've glommed it somewhere."
"Oh, no."
"Oh, yes. Your old man especially. Hates my insides. He don't want you to have anything to do with
it." "If Dad hated you, he wouldn't let you stay at our rooming house."
"He rents rooms, and I pay for the one I rent. That's business. And to ease your mind about the extra dough I spent, Lottie, I'm a lucky guy with dice and a good pool player."
"Here's your check, Keith."
"Thanks, Gus. Pay you so we can get out of here. We're going to Dance Land with..." "What?"
"Joe?"
"I haven't got my wallet."
"Oh, you've lost your money?"
"I don't know. Maybe I left it home."
"Well, phone Dad. He'll look in your room."
"Well, if he found it, I'd have to go there for it. It's only a few blocks. You stay here, Lottie, while I go..."
"Oh, you don't have to leave the lady here, kid. You're an old customer. I know you come back and pay."
"Well, thanks, Gus, but I can make better time alone. Hand me my overcoat with even that racket to the blue in there."
"Sure. Oh, it's a fancy coat. Nice and bright with red stripes. You got a class, kid."
"Yeah, but right now I got no dough. I'll come back as soon as I can, Lottie."
"I hope you find your money."
"Yeah, I hope so, too. And how?"
"Gee, Casey, it's nice of you and Miss Williams to have Thanksgiving dinner here in the Blue Note with me."
"Oh, we're nice people, Ethelbert."
"Well, the very best. True, warm-hearted, and generous to a fault. Pass the salt."
"Also honest, kind, and steadfast. Here's the salt and pepper."
"You know, we're really understating our sterling qualities, Anne. We've risen to the height of magnanimity, whatever that is, by chewing Thanksgiving turkey in this crummy joint we see every day, simply because our little pal here had to work. He could only get away from his bartending long enough to grab a meal on the house. We hope you appreciate our sacrifice, Ethelbert."
"Oh, I do."
"Good. Pardon my reach for the Tabasco. To prove your gratitude, Ethelbert, you can pay for our dinner.
Yeah, well...
Tabasco, Eddie?
Huh? Thanks. Hey, you've made a splendid suggestion, Casey. Paying our bill will relieve Ethelbert of a small part of his obligation for our company.
Yep.
Say, come to think of it, you two are working today yourselves. You didn't have time to get a full meal any further away from your office than this crummy joint.
Ethelbert, you impugn our motives. He destroys my faith in human nature.
Yes. The spirit of the day is entirely lost upon his lug.
Casey, if you'd pay me what you already owe this crummy joint, I'd be only too happy to buy you dinner. Get it, Walter?
This guy's too wise for us, Annie.
I'm afraid so, Casey.
Casey?
Yeah, Walter?
You're in the bar, Bone. You sit down.
Oh, nuts. I'm only just finished my turkey.
No, this means no dessert, Casey.
I'll see what Burke wants.
Well, stall him off if you can.
Yeah, I'll do my best, Annie. Hello, Grace. Hello, Casey speaking. Look, Burke, we haven't finished our dinner yet. Oh, all right, all right. Wait till I get my pencil. Corner of Whitestone and Evans. Well, what happened there? But is that all? For a run-of-the-mill story like that, we gotta leave our dessert and... Well, okay, Burke, all right, goodbye. Why I stick to this newspaper racket, I don't know.
What was it, Casey?
All the... Look, we gotta get out to Whitestone and Evans, Ann. Some mug just held up a filling station there and got away with a couple of $100.
Did he shoot anyone?
No, no. Huh? It's one of those inside page fillers. Burke says news is light and we gotta cover it.
All right, where is Whitestone and Evans?
Way uptown, not far from Petrakis Olympian Restaurant. You know, we've eaten there a couple of times.
Yeah, I remember. Hi, any description of the holdup guy?
Yeah, he wore a flashy blue overcoat with red stripes. See you later, pal.
So long, Ethelbert.
So long. Say, wait! Who's gonna pay for this crummy joint?
Here's what happened, Miss Williams. I'm working the station, see? I'm here in the office when this hold-up guy opens the door and says, give me your dough.
He had a gun, of course.
Oh, sure, he had a gun. The time was about 7:15.
What did you notice about the guy aside from his flashy overcoat?
Well, he wore his hat pulled down over his eyes and a handkerchief was tied around the lower part of his face. Also, he worked fast.
What'd he do?
Well, he told me to get into the the restroom there and to keep quiet. He locked the door on me and I heard him open up the money drawer there and then I heard him leave the joint. I started pounding on the door, and after a while, I managed to bust out. That was about 7:45. And then I phoned the cop.
Mind if I shoot a picture of that busted door, Sergeant?
Go ahead, Casey.
Thanks.
You want a picture of me, too, won't you, Mr. Casey?
Huh? You? Oh, sure, yeah. The door and you. I'll shoot the door first.
It's going to give me old lady a big kick to see me written up on a paper.
Hey, is this big puddle of grease in front of this door, Jones, when the hold-up guy locked you in?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I spilled it there earlier, and I didn't have time to clean it up.
And the mug must have stepped in it, Casey. Along with the description of his flashy coat I sent out, I included instructions to look for a guy with dirty grease stains on his shoes.
Well, the two things together ought to nail him, Sarge.
Yeah, I told the Sarge here something else that ought to nail a guy.
What's that?
Well, one of the bills he stole out of the money drawer was an old 20 that had been torn in two and kind of stuck together with scotch tape. I took it in just before the robbery, so I remember it.
Looks like you cops have plenty to work on, Sarge.
Yeah.
Well, we got all there is, Annie. Blow out of here. Get back to Blue Note. Get some plum pudding and coffee.
Aha, come on.
Hey, ain't you going to take my picture first?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll kind of stand here by the empty cash drawer, hey, and point my finger at it.
That'll be original. I'll stand at point, pal.
Great.
All set now. Shoot.
John.
Hey, Gus, I'm getting my picture, so don't walk in front of the camera.
I have just heard what happened to you about that guy in the blue overcoat which hold you up.
Well, I'll tell you all about that later, Gus. As soon as I get my picture.
No, I tell you and those cops about it now.
You'll tell. Who are you?
Oh, I am Gus Nikopopoulos. I am waiting in Petrakis Olympian Restaurant 3 blocks from here. And I know who is the kid who robbed my good friend John.
You know?
Yeah, I know as soon as I am told the news about that fancy overcoat.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I tell you, cops, everything. Even where to find this hole-up kid. He tell me he is going with his girl to dance land.
Got no right to pull me off that dance floor, copper.
You don't believe this waiter, Sergeant. Joe hasn't held up anybody.
We're going to see about that. Close the door, will you, Casey?
Okay, Sarge.
Now, this overcoat we got from the check room, it's yours, isn't it, Bowers?
Yeah, that's my coat.
And you, Jones. Say, the guy who stuck you up wore a coat just like it.
It's the same coat, Sergeant.
You're nuts. The store I bought this blanket at, a couple of dozen just like it.
Now, take it easy, kid. If your story's okay, we'll check on everyone who owns a coat like this. I'm going to search you. While I'm at it, you can tell us what you did after leaving Protector's restaurant. After you couldn't find your wallet, I mean.
I went straight to my room and house to look for my dough. Finally, I found it in the dresser drawer. And I came straight back to Petrakis for Lottie. That's Miss Newcomb here.
Yeah.
The dough's in that wallet you just took out of my pocket. It's about $40, and it's mine. I didn't steal it.
Hey, is that torn 20 in the wallet, Sergeant?
No, Jones.
Torn 20?
Guess he hasn't got a gun on him either, son.
He's clean, Casey.
Yeah, so are his shoes. Grease would show up plain on those light pants.
Now, he may have changed shoes and hidden a few things.
Yeah. How far is your rooming house from that filling station, kid?
Oh,
it's two blocks away down Evans Street. My father runs it.
How long did Joe leave you in Petrakis's while he was finding his money?
I didn't time it.
It wasn't more than 15 minutes, maybe a half an hour. So what?
So you had plenty of time to stick up Jones and go to your room before you came back to Petrakis's.
All right, if that's the way you dope it, copper, search my room.
I'm going to do that little thing, young fella. All of you. Let's go.
Lottie, why have you and Joe come home with all these people and these policemen?
Everything's all right, Dad. They made a mistake about Joe, but it's going to be all right.
A mistake about Joe?
A big mistake, Mr. Newcomb.
I don't understand.
I'm Sergeant Healy, 5th Detective District. There was a stick-up a few blocks from here tonight, and Joe Bowers here is under suspicion.
A stick-up? Joe?
He didn't do it, Dad. I know he didn't.
You were with him, Lottie. You must know.
Your daughter wasn't with him for a long half hour. Mr. Newcomb, I haven't taken time to get a search warrant, so I'd like the permission to go over Joe's room.
Give him a go-ahead. I have. He'll find nothing to tie me up with any heist job.
All right with you, sir?
Oh, yes, sir. Of course.
Thanks. Take me to your room, Bowers.
Come on.
Everybody else stay here with this uniformed officer.
Miss Williams and I'd like to go with you and Joe, Sarge.
Okay, Casey.
Well, thanks, Sarge. My room's on the next floor. It's right up those stairs.
Well, lead the way, kid. And don't try anything tricky.
Why should I try anything? You got on me, is it a stick-up guy wore an overcoat like mine? And that's all you're gonna get. There's the door of my room, cop. Open it, make yourself at home.
Give me your key.
The door isn't locked. I never bother. I'll turn on the light. I'll do your stuff.
I will.
You won't find anything locked up here. If I got nothing worth stealing, and nothing to hide. Now, if you were going to work in my cousin's room across the hall, you'd need a fistful of keys. He's one of those careful, secretive guys.
You got a cousin living across the hall?
Yeah, his name's Ferd, a Ferdinand. And is he a crumb?
I figured you don't like him.
I like him about as much as he likes me, maybe more. But if he's been making a play for my girl, he isn't getting anywhere. How you doing, copper? You see anything of the dough I'm supposed to have stolen or the gat you think I use in that stick-up?
Not yet, kid.
And you won't. I'm 100% in the clear.
Oh, yeah? How did this get under your carpet?
What?
Thank you.
A torn $20 bill.
Stuck together with such
tape. I never saw that bill before.
And I think Jones will identify it as the one taken from his cash drawer.
Wait a minute. There's more dough under this rug, Sarge. Couple of $100 at least.
I spotted it, Casey.
I don't know how it got there. I didn't pull that sticker.
Cut the comedy, Joe. This money nails
this
you.
This is a frame-up. I tell you, it's a
Where'd
frame-up.
Where'd you hide your gun?
I never had a gun. I swear I didn't.
Come clean, kid. Where's the gun?
Wait a minute. Will you give me a break? Let me think. Let me think a minute. Yeah. Yeah, there's just one mug who'll pull a thing like this. And if you're right, guys, you won't let him get away with it. Question Ferd, Sergeant. Question my cousin Ferd. His room's right across the hall.
That'd be a good idea, Sergeant.
Okay. Let's go over.
That's the room.
Yes?
I'd like to talk to you a minute. This is the police.
Just a second. I'm just starting to get ready for bed.
I'm Detective Sergeant Healy, young man. This is Miss Williams and Mr. Casey.
All right.
Hello there.
What do you want?
Let me close this door. Your cousin Joe here has made some accusations against you that it's my duty to investigate.
Oh, he has he?
Do you own an overcoat like Joe's here? Blue with red stripes?
An overcoat like that?
Have you ever worn one?
I wouldn't wear a Duke blanket like that if you paid me.
You say?
Yes, I say.
Mind if I look around your room?
Why?
Bert, someone wearing an overcoat like Joe's held up the Whitestone filling station tonight and...
What? You know where I bought this coat, Bird. I think you got one just like it on the QT. I think you slipped my wallet out of my pocket just before I left here with Lottie tonight, so I'd have to leave her and look for it. You were watching the rest of it, and when I left it, you went to that filling station.
Why, you're crazy. Fucking, you can't believe
Maybe
it.
Maybe I don't. But I want to search your room.
Oh, wait a minute.
Huh?
Have you got a search warrant?
No.
Then get out of here.
Say.
I know my rights. Unlike a certain relative of mine, I've got a clean record.
Who are you calling a lousy
record? You, Joe.
Why, I'll knock
and
you
out. And
if Cut it up. Cut it, both of you. So you don't want me to search your room, hey, young fella?
You heard me before, Sergeant.
Hey, pal, wait a minute. You're taking the wrong attitude. You got nothing to hide. This isn't the way to show it.
He's got a good reason for saying you can't search, and I'm going to prove it. Keep out of that closet, Joe.
Make me if you can.
I'll make you...
Hold it first.
Let me go.
Come
Let
out
me
of
go.
There, Joe. I'll get a warrant.
You won't need a warrant, Sarge. Look there.
What?
In the back of his closet, covered with other clothes.
Oh. An overcoat like yours.
Just like mine.
And in his pocket, there's a gun.
I never saw that coat before. I never saw that gun.
Well, somebody did. Come on. I'm taking you both to headquarters.
I don't know how that overcoat got in my closet, Sergeant. I swear I never saw it or that gun before.
So you've been saying, Bird. Both of you get into this car.
You did this to me, Joe.
Sure, I got wise to your frame up, you louse. I threw it right back at you.
You'll continue our discussion at the station house.
Of course, you'll only hold me long enough to get my testimony. I'll be back home in an hour or so.
Maybe.
You and Miss Williams tagging along after us, Casey?
No, Sarge. I may give you a buzz later, though.
We still have our Thanksgiving dinner to finish.
So why don't you two get jobs that won't make you work on holidays?
Why don't you?
You mean like Captain Logan?
I've been thinking about it for the last 25 years. Good night.
Night, Sergeant Healy. Come on, let's see now, Casey. And get our stuff to the
I'm
paper.
I'm going
and...
back to that rooming house, Andy.
Why?
Are you convinced that Cousin Bird framed Cousin Joe?
Well, his attempt to prevent a search of his room didn't look very good.
Annie, just think.
Well, Joe found that overcoat with what might be called surprising ease.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe that Joe would invite his own arrest in order to frame his cousin. Why, one little slip.
The framer, whoever he is, did make a slip, Annie. His plan didn't anticipate a grease puddle. And he had to get rid of a pair of shoes that may walk back and kick him.
None of the shoes in Joe's room or in Bird's had any grease stains on them.
No. Sergeant Healy hasn't forgotten those missing shoes, and he'll be back pretty soon to really look for them. Well, I'm going to start looking right now. I'll ring Newcomb's bell.
Sometimes I wish your snooping instinct were more restrained, Casey. I'd like a cup of coffee now and...
Hi, Mr. Newcomb.
Mr. Casey.
Yes, may we come in?
Of course, but I...
We didn't go with Sergeant Healy and his prisoners.
Wanted to ask, how's your daughter now? She wasn't taking this thing very well when we left. Oh, she feels terrible about it. Miss Williams, perhaps a woman can talk to her better than I can. Will you try to convince her that everything will come out all right?
Well, I'll gladly try, Mr. Newcomb.
She's in our private living room.
Yeah, go on in and talk to her alone, Annie. I'll stay here.
All right.
It breaks my heart to see my girl crying, Mr. Casey. She's all I have. She blames herself for what has happened. It isn't her fault that two young fools became so infatuated with her. I knew they hated each other, but I never anticipated anything like this.
No, it's not.
Of course, you had some reason for coming back here, Mr. Casey.
Yes, I came back to ask your permission.
Yes?
I want permission to ask a few personal questions between ourselves and off the record.
Very well.
You haven't wanted Joe for a son-in-law, have you?
In my place, would you? The boy has served a reformatory sentence that, according to my observation, has failed to steady him or improve his sense of value.
Bird has been Joe's opposite, I imagine.
He always seems so.
Lottie strikes me as a pretty sensible girl, Mr. Newcomb. Unless one of those fellows confesses he framed the other, or it can be definitely proven, he'll doubt both of them too much to marry either one of them.
Yes, I think that's so.
And as there'll be no confession or definite proof, things should work out exactly as you plan.
As I plan?
You're the guy behind this double frame-up.
Mr. Casey.
You didn't think I'd be back, did you? You shouldn't have changed back into those comfortable old shoes after Sergeant Healy left here. You did a lousy job of cleaning off that grease.
Oh, but
you held up that filling station and framed both the boys to keep your daughter from marrying either one of them.
It was very foolish, wasn't it?
Yes, I think so. Will I call Sergeant Healy?
All right. You can call Sergeant Healy, Mr. Casey. I'm ready to confess.
Wait a minute. Wait. Let me take a close look at those shoes.
What?
The pool of grease in that filling station you heard us talk about wasn't deep enough to reach far above the soles of the shoe. Hey. You greased those shoes yourself. You spread it on so thick it covers the toes and heels.
I didn't spread it on.
Pal, you're a beautiful liar. And I'm a beautiful dope. You greased those shoes and put them on knowing the cops had come back and spot them. You were willing to take the rap. Because your kid is in love with one of those punks.
You can't prove that. Nobody can. And when I confess, that's all that's needed.
You forget. The police lab will compare the grease on these shoes with a filling station grease, and it won't be the same. And then Sergeant Healy will go right back to work on Joe and Ferg.
The police laboratory can tell?
Yes, definitely, Mr. Newcomb. But if it couldn't, don't you think your confession would be much harder for your daughter to take than the loss of a little rat she thinks she cares for?
But I couldn't bear to see her cry anymore. All I could think of to do was what I tried. You see, I know the guilty boy, Mr. Casey, and she's loved Joe ever since they were children.
You know Joe?
I found his grease-stained shoes hidden in the cellar tonight. His taste in shoes is like his taste in overcoats, so I could make no mistake.
Well, let's get him. Take him to the top. Later, Mr. Newcomb, your daughter's going to realize that the lowdown she'll get on Joe tonight is a cause for real Thanksgiving.
Valley 103.1.
Suspense. Radio's outstanding theater of thrills. Starring tonight, Miss Margaret O'Brien in Anton Leder's production of The Screaming Woman. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
I ran to Aunt Cynthia's, and on the way back, I took a shortcut through Mr. Kelly's lot. It's a big lot, more like the side of a hill that slides down to Monument Creek. It's a swell place to play Indians and cowboys, or explorers are hunting for treasures, because trucks dump all kinds of stuff there. Loads of dirt and junk, and even big things like old cars and big pipes and chunks of concrete. Well, this day, coming back from Aunt Cynthia's, I saw that a lot of new junk and dirt had been dumped there since Saturday. They'd even covered up our swell big concrete pipe that us kids called our fort. Covered it clear up. I was looking around to see where it used to be when, all of a sudden, I stopped and listened. The sound was coming up out of the ground. A woman was buried under the junk and dirt and glass, and she was screaming all wild and horrible for somebody to dig her out. I started to run. I fell down and got up and ran some more. It was an awful, awful long way to our house that day. Mama! Mama!
Margaret?
Mama, Mama!
Oh, Margaret, haven't I told you not to slam the door? Is that the relish?
Listen, Mama, there's a screaming woman in the lot.
Wash your hands, Margaret.
She was screaming and screaming and screaming. Mama, listen to me. We've got to dig her out. She's buried under tons and tons of dirt.
I'm sure she can wait till after dinner. Oh, next year, I swear I'm going to buy a bigger platter.
Mama, don't you believe me? You've got to believe me.
Margaret, I've got a million things to do. Good gosh, look at you. How'd you get your knees so dirty?
Well, running back from the lot, I...
Never mind. Scoot and tell your dad we're about to eat. He's in the front room reading his paper.
Yes, Mama. Daddy! Oh, Daddy, I've got to tell you something.
Getting hungry, baby?
Daddy, there's a screaming woman in the lot.
Well, I never knew a woman who didn't. Hmm. Smell that turkey.
We've got to get picks and shovels and dig her up, like for an Egyptian mummy. Oh, Daddy.
Well, I don't feel much like an archaeologist today, Margaret. I can't think of anything but food. Let's have an expedition next Sunday and dig her up.
But we can't wait that long. Oh, Daddy, she'll die if we don't do it now. I'll give you some money.
Oh, so it's a business proposition. Well, how much do you pay by the hour?
I've got $5 whole. It took me a year to save.
Come here, puss. You know I'm touched.
Oh, but Daddy,
you want me to play with you, and you're willing to pay me for my time. Why, dear, you're shaking. Calm down.
Oh, Daddy, please.
After our Thanksgiving dinner, I'll come out and listen to your screaming.
Oh, but
how's that?
Oh, no, now, Daddy. Maybe she'll die if you don't come out now. Oh, you've got to come now.
Margaret.
If you believe me, you wouldn't wait. You never believe me. Mama doesn't believe me. Nobody believes me.
Quiet down right this minute.
Oh,
I not only won't go with you, but you'll go to your room and stay in without your Thanksgiving dinner. How is that? Clear?
Yes, sir. It's clear. I always liked Thanksgiving, almost next best to Christmas. But that was an awful one. Dinner was a million years long. Everybody moved so slow, like a slow-motion movie. Forks and knives and spoons moved slow, and Dad's cheek muscles moved slow when he chewed. I'll try to make things faster.
Margaret, you heard your mother now. Don't eat so fast.
But, Daddy, the screaming woman, we've got to hurry.
My dear young lady, this is Thanksgiving dinner, an occasion when we do not hurry. Oh, I intend to eat 4 or 5 helpings of everything until I can't eat any more. And I'm going to make an extra effort and find room for pumpkin pie, a few walnuts, and stuffed dates.
Oh, please, please, Daddy.
Now, if you pester me anymore, if you mention her again, this screaming what's this, I won't go out with you to hear a recital at all. I understood?
Yes, sir. It's understood. I wanted to yell. Oh, please, rush, get up, run around, come on, hurry. But I had to sit still, while out there in the lot with the sun shining down, all alone with nobody to hear or to help her, was the screaming woman. I could hear in my mind, screaming. Mom and Daddy couldn't hear. They just kept on eating and talking.
Well, now that I can be thankful for a full stomach, I guess we should consider what other things we have to be thankful for,
Well, we're all healthy. Prices are sky high, but we're not in debt. Yet.
Those are mundane things, my dear. I'm thankful for my big daughter. Right, Puss?
Yes, Dad.
And for my loving wife, who is still the most romantic woman I know.
Oh, silly.
I'm thankful I didn't marry somebody else.
You nearly married Dora Lampell. Even gave her a ring.
No, I never meant anything. No one... No. You're the only one who's been the serious competitor since we were all kids.
Oh?
There's only one. One
who?
Other. Helen Nesbitt.
Oh!
Yeah, Helen was my first love. When she was about as old as Margaret, I gave her a present one Christmas, and she gave me one. I still have it.
Oh, that paperweight on your desk.
Mm-hmm. Funny how we hang on to things that were important when we were kids.
Daddy.
Just a little longer, boys. Warm up my coffee, will you, dear?
You know what I'm thankful for, dear? Seriously. That we stayed here in this same town where we grew up. Here you are, dear.
Thank you.
The same friends. Even the same street. It's been a peaceful life. Not very exciting, but...
Daddy!
Margaret finds it pretty exciting.
Yes. You better take her out to the lot before she collapses.
All right, now, where is your screaming woman? Lead me to her.
Over here, where our fort used to be.
Fort?
The big concrete pipe. It's all covered up now.
Yeah, and Kelly's really getting this lot filled in. All right, where's the lady?
Right about here, Daddy. Listen.
Don't hear a thing, except the wind. Better button up your sweater, Puss.
Shh, listen.
Well, that's the trolley over on Aspen Street.
Hey there, screaming woman. Hey!
Looks like the Dolans are starting out for a drive. Well, I guess your screaming woman's let you down, Puss.
But she was here, Daddy. Right under here where they dumped all this dirt. I heard her screaming and screaming like she was underneath the fort. Somebody's dumped tons and tons right on top of our fort.
Yeah, too bad they buried your fort, Margaret. I saw two of Kelly's big trucks backed in here last evening. There was a dump truck in here this morning, too.
It isn't because they covered the fort.
That must be your screaming woman doesn't like grown-ups. Only delivers her solo for kids, I guess.
Maybe she can't scream anymore.
Well, I'm going back and take a nap. Let my dinner settle.
Well, aren't you going to help me dig?
Now, listen, my dear. Don't you think this is a sort of a silly game?
But it's not a game.
Now, don't stay too long, dear. Mama probably likes some help with those dishes.
Daddy! Daddy! I know I heard her scream. I know it. Oh, darn, darn, darn! You're there! You're still there! Hey, screaming woman! Oh, why did you scream before? Why didn't you scream so Daddy could hear you? Don't just scream for me. I can't help you all by myself. Daddy! Daddy, where are you?
Upstairs, Margaret. Here I am.
Daddy! Daddy, she's screaming again. Right after you left, she started to scream. You've got to come back.
Whoa, there now. Come here. Let me feel your head.
Please, Dad.
Why, you've got a fever. You're going to lie down, young lady.
We can't leave her down there, Dad. We just can't.
Come on along. Come on into your room. That's right.
It's awful, Dad. It's awful for her to be screaming and nobody listening.
Listen,
nobody caring.
You lie down, folks. Lie down now. Come on.
She'll choke where there isn't any more air and she'll die.
Now, you're going to lie down the rest of the afternoon before you make yourself sick.
No, I've got to dig. I've got to dig her up.
It's all those comic books you read. Now, I forbid you to leave the house. Close your eyes now and take a nap. That's my good girl.
What am I going to do? What am I going to do? After a while, I stopped crying. I had to get back to the lot where that woman was screaming, but I was locked in. I tied a sheet to the bed and let it out the window and shinnied down to the ground. Then I ran to the garage and got shovels and ran to the empty lot. The sun was almost down and it was getting cold. I started to dig fast.
Hiya, Maggie.
It was Dippy Smith, who was 10 years old, the same as me. He goes to my school.
What you digging for?
For a screaming woman. She's down in the ground and I'm going to dig her up. You can help me dig, Dippy. There's an extra shovel.
I don't hear nothing. I don't dig unless I hear a scream.
Then listen.
I don't hear nothing.
Just wait. You will. There. Did you hear it?
Hey, that's okay. Do it again.
Do what again?
A scream. Do it again. Go on. I'll give you this Aggie if you teach me to do it. Hot dog, did you get that ventriloquist book for a dime from that magic company? You got one of those 10 things in your mouth?
I won't tell unless you help me dig.
Okay, swell. Give me the shovel. Hot dog.
And you got to dig fast. Like this, Dippy.
Boy, you'd think she was right under our feet. You're wonderful, Maggie. Say, what's the screaming woman's name? You must have made her up a name.
Oh, sure. Her name is Wilma Schwager, and she's a rich old lady, 160 years old. And she was buried by a crook named Spike. Come on, Dippy, dig. Keep digging. We can't stop, Dippy.
Oh, I'm tired. I think I'll go home.
Dippy, stop. You can't. There really is a woman buried here.
Well, sure. You said so, Maggie.
Oh, don't you believe me? I wasn't throwing my voice. Come back, Dippy.
Okay, but I'm getting tired of digging.
Now, look, Dippy. I'll go way over here, and then you listen.
Okay.
Listen.
Hey, there really is a woman here.
That's what I told you.
Well, come on, let's dig. How's she breathing, do you think?
I think she's in the fort. Remember?
Sure. That's where she must be. 5 or 6 of us kids could get in it so it's big enough. I sure hope it isn't just a radio or something.
Well, a radio would be nice, too.
Here, what do you kids think you're doing?
Oh.
Hello, Mr.
Mr. Kelly.
I'm tired of chasing you out of this lot. If one of you gets hurted, maybe your folks would sue me.
But, Mr. Kelly, there's a woman screaming.
You kids beat it. Do you hear?
Yes, sir. But listen, Mr. Kelly, don't you hear? There.
I don't hear a thing, and neither do you. Now beat it.
Come on, Maggie.
Mr. Kelly, somebody's got to dig her up.
Don't argue with me or I'll phone your folks. This is my property. Do I have to put up a fence? Why should I spend money to keep people off my own property?
Dippy, it's him. He's the one.
Huh?
He murdered Mrs. Kelly. He hit her on the head and stuck her in the fort and dumped loads of dirt on top. But she wasn't dead. She came too. Why, you saw him. He stood right there when she screamed and wouldn't pay any attention.
Hey, that's right. He stood right there and lied to us. What'll we do, Maggie?
There's only one thing to do. We'll phone the police and tell them to come and arrest Mr. Kelly.
Hey, they sure got here fast, Maggie.
Shh. Don't make a sound.
Is Mr. Kelly in the house?
Yes. He went right home from the lot.
Yes, officer. You, Mr. Kelly?
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
Is Mrs. Kelly at home this evening?
Why, sure.
Can I see her, sir?
Why, sure. Hey, Anna. What's up?
We got a call. Oh, well, good evening, ma'am.
What is it?
Oh,
I'm sorry, folks. We got a call that Mrs. Kelly was buried alive in an empty lot. Sounded like some kid calling, but we had to make sure. We always check, you know.
Oh, I can't understand.
It's those blasted kids. If I ever catch them, I'll break their necks.
Maggie, jeez it.
Boy, if Mr. Kelly telephones my dad, I'll get a licking.
What'll we do about the screaming woman?
What the heck with her? I'm not going near that lot again.
Wait, Dippy.
Huh?
I know why he didn't hear the screams. Kelly's sort of deaf. Mama says he's hard of hearing.
He heard us, didn't he? He heard the cop.
He reads people's lips, but he couldn't hear the screaming woman because he couldn't see her. Dippy, come on. We gotta dig some more.
No, sir.
But we've got to.
We're already in a peck of trouble over your darn old ventriloquist voice. I'm not going to get in any more trouble. No, sir.
And he went off and left me alone. I wanted to crawl down under the ground with the screaming woman and die, too. It was dark now, and Dad would be hunting for me. If he found me, I'd get a licking and be put to bed. And then nobody would help the screaming woman at all. There was only one last thing to do. So I did it. To go all over the neighborhood from house to house and find out who's missing.
Why, hello, dear.
Hello, Mrs. Griswold. Is anybody missing from your house? Is your sister from Detroit still here?
Yes, she's sitting right over there by the radio. Don't you see her? Em, little Margaret Leary wants...
No, I only wanted to see her, Mrs. Griswold. I was just wondering. I just wanted to know if she was here. Hello, Mrs. Pikes. You're looking good. I'm glad to see you're at home, Mrs. Pikes. I'm awful glad. Mr. Hyde, is your wife still here?
Dora, aren't you out pretty late, Margaret?
Yes. Oh, hello, Mrs. Hyde.
What is it, Margaret?
I just wanted to see you, Mrs. Hyde. That's all. The hours were just rolling along, and I rang bells and knocked, and I rang bells. I was about to give up when I came to the Nesbitt's house. The house was quiet like nobody was at home, but I saw a dim, spooky light inside somewhere. So I just kept knocking and knocking. Oh.
What do you want?
Oh, nothing, Mr. Nesbitt. I only wanted to see Mrs. Nesbitt.
She's not here. She's gone to the store.
At night? Besides, it's closed today, I think.
The drugstore down on Clark Street.
Oh, well, then she ought to be back pretty quick. I'll come in and wait.
Hey, wait a minute.
I'll just sit down here and wait. I sure like this rocking chair. Go right ahead and do whatever you were doing, Mr. Nesbitt.
I wasn't doing anything.
Oh,
Looks like you were packing or something, with all those boxes and trunks around. Going away?
No, Helen's been sorting things out, getting rid of a lot of stuff.
Oh, burning it up in the fireplace.
Yeah, that's right.
Dad always burns our junk out in the alley. Clothes smell awful when they burn.
Look, Helen may have gone on from the store to visit a friend.
Well, if she doesn't come back soon, I'll leave.
Yeah, I'll tell her you were here. What do you want to see her about?
Oh, nothing much. Hey, that's too bad.
What?
I guess you lost the key to that box. You had to break the lock.
No, it was broken already. Yeah, I bet your folks don't know where you are, kid.
No, sir. They think I'm in bed. What friend did Mrs. Nesbit go to visit?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, look, kid, I ought to tell you, she won't be back tonight.
Oh?
No. She went to the store, like I said, but she was going from there over to Beechwood to visit her mother. On a bus. She'd be gone 2 or 3 days.
Oh, that's a shame.
Why?
Well, Mama was expecting Mrs. Nesbit to come over tomorrow. Maybe to sell.
Hey, you better not tell your mother. You see, it's kind of secret about Helen going away. She doesn't want people to know for a while.
Oh.
You know how to keep a secret, kid?
I guess so.
I'll give you something for not telling. I'll give you a reward. Let's see. Hey, here's something for a kid. A doll.
A doll?
Yeah. Helen was going to give it to you. I heard her say when she was sorting the stuff. She said, I'll give this to the little Leary girl.
Mrs. Nesbit always calls me Margaret.
Well, sure, that's what she said. Margaret. That's quite a doll. Old-fashioned. It's made of leather. Face is china or something, see?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Nesbit.
It's a reward for not saying anything about Helen being gone. Understand? Now, come on. I'll snap on the porch light.
Mr. Nesbit, did you finish your driveway?
What do you mean?
Did you get all the dirt hauled off to make it smooth?
Sure. Now, come on.
I saw your dump truck in the lot this morning and...
What do you mean? Were you in the lot this morning?
No, I was at home. I looked out the window. Please, Mr. Nesbit, let go of my arm.
You've been playing out there today? Answer me.
Oh, don't. That hurts. I wasn't playing. It's no fun now with our fort all covered up and...
The fort? What's that?
Nothing. Nothing, Mr. Nesbit.
Tell me what you're talking about.
Nothing but that old concrete pipe.
You know something. That's why you came here. You've been snooping around that lot and you found out something. What do you know?
I don't know anything. Let me go, Mr. Nesbit. If you don't let me go, I'll...
Ow!
There!
Come back! Hey, you come back, kid. I'll give you something else. I'll give you something else. Come back, kid. Come back.
Mr. Nesbit yelled because I kicked and bit his hand. Then I ran, but I heard him running after me. It was dark and quiet and scary on the streets, and more scary out there in the lot. I ran straight across the place where I heard the screaming, and it was so quiet. And all of a sudden, there was a man in the lot, right in front of me.
Stop, Margaret.
Oh.
Margaret?
Oh, Daddy.
Margaret, where have you been? Do you have any idea how your mama's worried? Do you know how late it is?
Daddy, he's after me.
We've been
Mr.
up
Nesbit.
And down alleys and clear down to Clark Street. I was about to call the police.
The screaming woman. It's Mrs. Nesbit down there.
I'm going to give you a good licking.
Mr. Nesbit killed her, and now he wants to kill me.
I've had all of that idiotic talk I can stand.
It's true. You've got to believe
Margaret, I'm going to lick you right now, right here. I've had enough of... What have you got there? Where did you get that doll?
Why, I gave it to Leary. The kid stopped by the house. I remembered... Helen said she wanted to throw it away.
Helen said to throw it away?
He's lying, Dad. He gave it to me so I wouldn't tell about her. It was locked up in a box. He didn't have the key. He broke it open.
She's a high-strung kid, Leary. All the stuff she was telling me.
He's lying, Dad.
Yes, he is lying. Why are you lying, Charlie?
Lying? How do you get that, Leary?
Helen never let you have that doll. It was locked up. It was a present I gave her a long time ago. She wouldn't throw it away anymore, and I'd throw away the paperweight she gave me. Why are you lying, Charlie?
I'm not. Don't look at me that way, Leary. As God is my witness, I...
It's her. Dad, it's the screaming woman.
As God is your witness.
No, Leary, don't!
Margaret, run to the house. Phone the police and tell them to hurry.
Tell them we've got to dig.
Hello?
Hi, Dippy. Everything's fine. Everything's worked out keen. The screaming woman isn't screaming anymore. And they've got a lot of people down there digging her up.
Hey, that's swell. Hot dog.
And you know what else, Dippy? They're going to uncover our fort again. Oh, Dippy, wasn't it a keen Thanksgiving?
Privilege to introduce a new song, God Bless America.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America, land that I love. Land, guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairie, to the ocean wide with hope. God bless America.
In search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge. The door is slowly closing for Radio Masterpieces, but be sure and tune in again next week from 9 to 10 p.m. to listen to more wonderful mysteries from the 1940s and 50s. This is Bruce Kaplan signing off. Radio Masterpieces is a Seattle Miracle Incorporated production.